haven't had to. And there is
in better
words. Oh, yeah.
In Spanish.
Okay.
Like that.
So I got about 5:34. Roll call. I guess we got Mary, you're here.
Mary Gorman, I'm here. Liz Asman.
I'm here.
Jonathan Stillman, Ward 2.
Ward 2, Ward 2. Barbara Brain, Ward 3.
Tim Cusick, City Council.
Jenny Wendt, staff liaison.
Tim Dugan.
Okay. Opening round. Anybody have any comments in opening round?
Don't.
Nobody? Okay.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Welcome back.
Happy New Year to everybody, yeah. Item 3, approval of minutes in the last meeting, which was in November 8th. There's a draft in your packet. Take a minute to look it over. Any comments? I would entertain a motion from somebody to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Special presentations. I don't see that we have anything. Public comments. Does anybody here from the public who wants to comment on anything? Unless any board members, commission members want to make any comment about something. All right, let's look on a new, move on to new business. SWMD municipal grant approval. First of all, what does SWMD stand for?
It's the Solid Waste Management District.
Okay.
And that was the grant that we applied for additional drop-off containers.
Okay.
And we, and it was granted. And right now we are in the process of getting a resolution signed and the contract signed.
Okay.
So it was supposed to go to next week's council, or Monday's council meeting, but I had the location to be determined, and Mr. Rose wants it to be determined now before going to council.
Okay.
And I actually had it in the timeline that was one of the items that we'd work on once we get the funding, because I thought we'll get the funding, make sure we have the funding, and then we'll find a location, but he says location first, so which makes sense.
Okay.
So there are two items under here, but one is container option, one's location. But let's talk about location first, if we can. There's a map. There's a building at 633 McKnight Road. It's the district offices. They have apartment complexes. Well, let me back up. The next page is the city map. And so when you look at the city map, originally it was suggested that we find a public space to put the containers. But when we looked at the public spaces, which basically are the green areas, and right now the one we have is at Pennsylvania and Olive, basically, there aren't really a lot of public spaces that are useful. You know, somebody said the Centennial Commons parking lot, but that's right by the one we already have. We looked at the Roof Park golf course parking lot, but that's really tight, and it gets really crowded, and there's not really a good spot. It would be actually a good, pretty good east-west locations. So public spots were kind of out.
What about near the Roof Park golf course parking lot? The school district has got a lot up right on the road where they've used a lot, but there's another lower lot they've got down there where it's just a construction company's building in there and virtually nothing else. It really is empty. It's the last, you go down the driveway, the land between the school district and the cities and the golf course, and the last thing over on the right hand side, there's a wide open lot down there which is just not used for anything most
down
of the time.
Down behind the school?
Yeah.
Okay.
The city high school.
This is the middle school. This is behind the middle school.
Let me look at that. The one thing is that it's not very visible, and we want it to be somewhat visible because of dumping and that kind of thing.
I understand, yeah.
But that is a good option, because we talked about that area, because then that school district across the street, they have a little bit of space, but their parking lot's not that big, but that's a good...
Yeah, so you have to go down, you know where the driveway is.
Yes.
In the main parking lot faculty uses, and down below, there's this big empty lot down there.
Supermarket parking lots be a possibility? I think we talked about that. Those are places that people go
to
anyway.
Could you use the speakers and build here? Thank you.
If it's in a park, it's not a place that everybody goes routinely, but everybody goes to the supermarket.
Like Pete's, because Chinook's is pretty close also, so it would have to be Pete's or that, where is Pete's? Do you know, is it west?
Olive.
And what?
Olive and Hanley.
Hanley. I was hoping...
The Aldi's is around at that corner, too.
Aldi's is at north and south.
North and south.
Yeah, north and south and
Olive. I'll put them down. I wanted something west, further west, just because, you know, if you look at the map, we have one more east. But I don't... Aldi seems like the lot's pretty crowded, usually.
Usually, yes, yeah.
But that Pete's... And where is the Olive supermarket?
It's...
That's
close to 81st Street. It's a couple of blocks east of 81st Street.
Okay.
It's on the north side of Olive.
And is it... It's staying, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's staying because it's not by close to midnight. I mean, it's...
Not going to be demolished.
Right. That might be a good one that far... That's further west. Does anybody have any other? I was also thinking about the businesses. There used to be Flaco's Tacos at Olive and 170. I mean, Delmar 170. Mm-hmm. That lot is usually pretty empty. It used to be owned by Dan Wald, who we have a decent relationship with already. But I think he recently sold it.
He did.
So I'm not sure who the owner is now.
Yeah, I don't know. My husband had an office in that building.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's emptying out, has been for a couple of years, because the building wasn't maintained. The assumption is the building is going to be demolished and
something else
built. So.
That's on the south side of Delmar?
In the north side.
On the side with Walgreens or on the north side with the
side with Walgreens.
On
okay.
the south side of the street.
Jenny, going back to the Olive area, what about the parking lot where Mandarin House is?
Where is that?
It's
that's huge.
Just
huge.
East of the Olive supermarket. It's on the south side.
Yeah.
Of Olive.
Yeah,
it's like what, 8,800 or so? It's pretty close.
Yeah,
to
that lot's pretty much empty most of the time. Yeah.
It's
more
like 79
south
or 80. East of 81st Street.
Okay, that's not bad.
That's a huge
lot. It's
a huge lot.
They're never fault.
Sorry, we're going to the Mandarin House on
Olive. Okay.
That's very good.
While you're looking, we're talking about location. Let's take a look at the pictures here of different bins that you got, okay?
Yes.
And look at the one on the right-hand corner, lower right-hand corner. This is a small thing. This is in Tel Aviv, Israel. Okay, I was walking down the street the other day, a couple weeks ago, and took a picture of this. they're just taking a parking spot. There's a smaller thing, this is for plastic bottles, this one. But they've got them all over the residential area in Tel Aviv. Now, granted, they don't have the kind of residences we do, where you've got wide open front lawns and stuff, and the people wouldn't want them up there. But these are all in areas of two to about five or six story residential apartments. And they've got quite a few all over Tel Aviv this way. They don't have them in the commercial areas. I think in the bigger high-rises, they may have some within the buildings themselves. Jerusalem also had some of these. Jerusalem streets are much tighter, much narrower, and there they had them sort of where sidewalks came together in a corner. They would put them in the middle of that corner. And Haifa had some as well. So there seem to be quite a bit of this going on in Israel from what I can see. But these are small units, and so rather than having one or two maybe huge monster units, if you looked at the idea of having some smaller ones, maybe you could take up a parking space here or there. But you have more of these around town, but they might accommodate it more readily. I'd say they're kind of unsightly. You wouldn't want them in areas where most of us have our single-family homes. But in other areas we're talking about, rather than looking for two or three major locations, if we look for many more, 8 or 10 smaller ones, we have a parking lot size.
One parking place.
One parking place type thing, you might be able to do that as another option.
In England, I know they have, they call them bottle banks, and they're actually shaped like a giant bottle. And you see them in supermarket lots.
Parking lots.
Mm-hmm. Places like that. I don't know. They have something similar down at the ballpark, I think, for recycling. But they're pretty eye-catching because of the shape. Now, I don't know if something like that would be really expensive.
I doubt it. I mean, these big containers are expensive.
And that would be something, like the bottle bank idea, that would be something that you could have in multiple locations.
I like that. If we're collecting glass, we can't just have a cage. I think this is like a cage, right? The one from Israel. John, is it like a cage?
Yeah, it is like a cage, yeah.
We would have to have it closed off some because of glass. It'd be glass. We don't want any glass anywhere. But I like that it's open so you can see, and so people won't just use it as a, here's a dumpster that, we can hide whatever we want in this.
They do that.
Yeah, now you could accomplish that by having an inner, if you had an inner screen kind of thing, sort of, if you were going into whatever, an inner screen would just make it visible if you wanted.
You could do plexiglass or something, right?
Yeah, maybe, something like that, yeah.
This could be getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. There could be an opportunity to link with a school or community education and awareness project if there was like something that could be painted or beautified.
Right.
Use that as sort of like a public service announcement at the same time.
If we
make
have
it
these.
Eye-catching, too,
And then if it only took up one place, then maybe some schools would be interested in putting one out. Our goal is glass just because we want to pull that out. Plastic, it wouldn't make us any money. Plastic's just not selling, and, it's just a hard product right now with gas prices being low and everything. But, of course, collecting it, taking it out of the landfill is worth something. Okay, so
Jenny, is the intent that we would have, if we were to use these larger, like the pink colored ones, is the intent that we would have maybe one central location that would have something this large and a connected dispenser for each of the materials, or it's all going to be single stream still and we'll like just change what's written on the side, or?
They're basically, we're going to have two containers at a second location, and one would be for mixed paper and one would be for glass. And the reason for that was the idea of pulling glass out of the single stream benefits in a lot of ways. The weight, the tonnage is just higher, and sorted glass is more useful and we can make money on it. Same with mixed paper. It's having a hard time selling when it's mixed in single stream, but sorted mixed paper is. But, the thing is we could go all out, but then that's a whole other space issue. And it's a lot of maintenance. This drop-off is a lot of maintenance. So we thought, if there's only two and it's specific for these materials that are a problem in single stream right now, that's why we chose those two materials and just those two containers. Now, this large one is really big, and I put it in here because of the holes in the top of it. So it's not as open, and so people can't put car doors or tires and things like that these containers. But it wouldn't have to be that big. But I do like, if we did have one. So, if you look at this map, it shows where the drop-off is now, and basically the proposed location was going to be in this little parking lot. I'm not sure that's the best spot. That's the one spot that the property manager said that could be a possibility. But what would be nice is to have these smaller containers throughout the city.
Yep. I will say the ones in Israel, I didn't see any other contaminants in them. Maybe you got people educated better or whatever, but all I saw was pretty much the plastic bottles. I know it's a worry.
Right.
And there wasn't even any sign on this thing saying, but well, if it didn't have been Hebrew, I wouldn't have been able to read anyway. But the people were seeming to cooperate pretty well with it.
They need to be, where they're put, they need to be highly visible because of people using them for dumping. But
yeah, I guess one of my questions is, Will there be a change to individual single stream recycling from people's homes or from businesses? And if not, then why would people use this? Is there?
There isn't a change, and I wondered that too. Except that this drop off gets so used. I mean, that the containers are always overfilled. I mean, Monday morning it's crazy how much materials we have. So the one benefit that I would like to see, which would be nice somewhere like the Loop, is for glass, because if businesses aren't recycling, or if they have a lot of glass and they can pull that out separately, you know, if they were willing to do that. So a lot of it is businesses. There's a lot of businesses don't recycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what about behind Cicero's? There's that huge parking lot, and there's a lot of restaurants around there
right.
that use a lot of glass. And that might make them more liable to separate it.
Okay.
Well, and I would wonder also, since here there's so much that you can recycle, including some things that either you can't recycle every week or you can't recycle at all directly from your home, is that also a draw where I might say, I'll just come and bring everything here because I'm already going out. So
yeah.
Do we want to think about what else is going to draw people to that location?
Well, the thing is, though, we don't want to put, the idea wasn't for it to be a full second drop-off location.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it may not be successful. There may not be people that will use it, but I know when, I think it's more attractive to businesses, and even like the paper container, if it's close to a school, you would think that that would be helpful. All the schools have recycling.
Right, yeah.
My concern about behind Cicero's is that particular management company don't recycle at all. So Publico and Taco, whatever it's called,
Soltaco,
thank you, they don't recycle, not because they don't want to, because they don't have it. I've literally taken 6 empty wine bottles from Publico to my recycling. Publico got arrested. Containers. But seriously, they really want to, but they have nowhere to go. So if the city provided it for them, you know, that would be a ticket out of the trash, simply put.
So if we did put small ones around the locations we talked about, like behind Brittany Woods, Olive Supermarket, maybe Dan Wald's old property, Mandarin House, Cicero's, these are things that we've just mentioned. Are there other locations that you could think of offhand for smaller containers?
Well, apart from that, but the person who owns the building that is houses Cicero's is Steve Stone, and he would be very open to.
Well, that's our lot back there.
Yes,
the city's
it is, but
lot,
you know,
so
he wouldn't get a lot of opposition from it.
Right.
What about the large parking lot at Groby and Olive on the west side of Groby, on the south side of the street?
Oh, yeah, the place where Firestone used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
that lot's always empty, and it's pretty visible.
So this is just west of North and South.
Okay.
And Olive, there's some buildings in there. It's a Westover lot is what it used to be. It used to be Westover Greenhouse there, and I think the strip mall is called Westover for that reason.
It's where the oldies used to be before they built that.
And so there's a lot of empty space there all the time, too.
Okay, what about south? Because we don't have anything south of Del Mar.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm sure we can't go into the city of St. Louis, but I'm thinking about that corner of Skinker and Forge Park where there's some spots and there's a lot of traffic in the university right behind Kayaks, the Caldi's Coffee place, but that's technically in the city.
Right. I could just, on a sidebar, talk to the St. Louis City Recycles.
But that's
not very accessible, though.
Well, there's probably just a lot of, I would imagine that there's a lot of traffic from people that are connected to the university, and many of them are on foot, so it might be used in a different way, but I could see there being, as a drop-off.
There's really bad traffic in that area. It's almost impossible to even turn out of the neighborhoods there. So
right. In a car.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
What about Flynn Park?
I don't know about the space. I know they have a tiny lot at the school, and then there's not really parking, right? It's just that you park around the park.
Yeah, there's street parking.
That might be appropriate for the Tel Aviv-like ones.
Yeah,
took up a parking space.
I know the Flynn Park parking lot is so tight, mm-hmm. and when I went there to talk to the kids, I parked on the street, and then one of the residents left me a nasty letter on my windshield saying, this isn't parking for the school, this is parking for the residents. Yeah.
What about using some parkland for some of these small ones?
As long as it's, which one?
Well, I just tossed out the idea of using some parkland. I don't know, but these things don't take up too much space to use a small unit.
Well, you know, what? I don't know the Northmore, you know, down there at Northmore. I think it's basically green space. I don't know the... how well that would be received by the residents, but that because you know, like up at the north west corner, Greensfelder is a nice location to be further up there, but it's a very hidden park, and I'm afraid it would get a lot of contamination and a lot of. But the only public space we have south of Del Mar is Flynn Park or this little. It's not called Northmore Park.
What about Metcalf Park, the part of it that's accessible from the street? You know,
the side that might be most usable would probably be the lot actually on the southeast corner. So you come onto it from it's not Clements; it's the street just north of it, which is perpendicular to Kingsland there.
For a small one, that
yeah,
would be,
exactly.
You know,
there's maybe a square worth of six or eight spots there. The one right off of Kingsland,
yeah.
I think, is just a strip of four or five.
Right. Okay, south of Del Mar.
You know, Jenny, you might just have to end up doing some experimentation too. And try one or two spots. If they don't work, you move some other place and see what happens. That's very easily said.
Right.
When you have to move things, especially if you put in great big units, you've already purchased the big units. So
we have money for two units, one glass, one paper, and that we budget about $25,000. Now we could go back and say, okay, well, we want instead to buy four smaller ones and then put them in different locations. Okay, so I have a lot of ideas, and then what I might do is just go kind of scan the south of Del Mar area to see if there's anything down there. Because what I'd like to see is when you look on a map, it's like spread out through the city, right?
Accessible,
right?
And also, if you end up going to some of these parking space on street ideas like they've got in Tel Aviv, I think you're going to have to end up putting them next to businesses or something. Where you know, on the side of business buildings or apartment buildings, rather than in front of people's front lawns or in front of businesses, you got a place where one business faces south, another one north, and the east-west, just the side of buildings, and not too much use. If you did that, that might be less objectionable. Otherwise, you're going to run an awful lot of not-in-my-backyard problems. And I could see Mary cringing already when I was suggesting doing that next to buildings. But,
well, mine has, I've got the largest in University City right behind my building.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of.
Okay. All right.
No, conversely, sir. I very much think that they'd be good.
Okay. Well, we'll keep looking. I know that we'll try to get the resolution passed with maybe some proposed locations at the January 28th council meeting. That's what our goal is. But they want to have some kind of preliminary agreements if we're using private property, because that would require an agreement, you know.
Well, it's not my private property. It's the alley that belongs to the city.
Yeah.
And I'm a big proponent of it.
Okay, so are you all, I mean, we talked about the small containers. Do we want one location with the large containers, or do we want to just do some small locations throughout? I mean, and some of this depends on what the sanitation division can do. You know, if I say, well, now we're going to have six small locations, they might say, it's not what we agreed to. Because the idea right now is with the large ones, they come and they take a roll off, I mean, they take a truck and they pick it up and then it goes directly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was the idea of having, like, you know, one stop.
Sorry. I'm not sure if we are, how conclusive this information would be, but I would be in support of having a combination of the two to get a sense of, is one gaining more traction, mm-hmm. more attention from people? Is one actually more cost effective?
Especially, could we lease these things for a year or so to see what works rather than necessarily buying them right off the bat?
I'm not sure if because we'll want to design it, you know, we need to make it attractive. But I know that the glass, strategic glass, they, instead of us buying one, they had suggested that they buy it and then we pay them back with the proceeds from our glass. So it would, maybe they would do something like that said we'll do a trial, you know, and it would, the money would go towards that. But at the end of the year, if it's not successful, then you can have it back and you can paint it how you want and you can use it for somebody else. So I can talk to them about that.
Any other thoughts before we move on? I want to make sure everybody's had a chance to pitch in here. I think we've come up with a bunch of good, viable ideas and I'll see what Nancy goes through. All right, let's move on to old business.
Well, there was one more.
Okay.
There was another Solid Waste Management District grant application that was for an analysis of our facility here. We talked about it a little bit. It was applied for to look at our facility that used to be the recycling processing, and it's called a MRF, Materials Recovery Facility. And we applied for funds to get a study done to see what the financial implications would be if we restarted that MRF, because we're still paying a lot for single stream recycling. Kirkwood, Brentwood, and Valley Park all agreed that they would, well, Kirkwood for sure would pitch in financially if it could be reasonable, more reasonable for them, because Kirkwood, Brentwood, and Valley Park all haul their own like we do. And the other, so many other municipalities, they have Republic or Progressive, whoever comes and does it. So we applied for that, and we'll see what the funding is. We applied for I think I applied for $50,000.
Okay.
So that's all on that one.
Okay. Old business. First one is Mayors for Solar Cities, Solar Project Update.
You remember discussing this at the last meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. So I went ahead and put the information in here again about the campaign. Also in here is our solar panel permit application, which I've heard that it, you know, as long as they have all the information correct about the roof, then...
condition of the roof?
No, because you have to have the structural information when you apply for a permit mm-hmm. for a solar panel. Then it's about a week. It's pretty quick, the permit process. So there's no speeding that up. But so right now, it's a pretty streamlined process. On the next page is we did some analysis of some of the facilities. And our goal, because we have an ordinance that says our energy efficiency ordinance requires projects to have a 15-year or less payback. And so... I talked to Straight Up Solar, and they gave us some numbers on some of our buildings. Some of them were, this one says 11.5 year payback. This one says 12 to 13 year payback. So it looks like it would be less than 15 years, but it's of course a really expensive project, and they would have to be funded. And I'm not sure the city, of course, that would be a priority. These would be priority projects. So basically, this is the information that I've gathered.
Mm-hmm.
And we can decide, based on this little bit of information, if we want to sign this agreement. I did find out for the state of Missouri, the city of Kansas City has signed on, and the city of St. Peter's. Those are the two cities, municipalities from Missouri that have
signed. Kansas City and?
St. Peter's.
And signed on to what exactly?
This saying that you will, it's a solar campaign. Basically, we would be, you know, if you look through here, lead the way, try to adopt some solar yourself, expand access, make sure that people are aware, like we do have PACE programming available for people, residents, remove any obstacles, which right now it sounds like it's pretty streamlined. And there's some things we can't do, like guarantee solar rights. I don't think we have anything in our ordinance stopping it. I think the biggest thing is with Ameren and their rules, but that's nothing we can do. And then be an advocate, partner with utilities. So basically, it would be supporting this and trying to encourage residents to, you know, go solar when they can.
I did look at some to see what some municipalities were doing,
mm-hmm.
To fulfill the obligations of that, and that was kind of interesting.
What did you find?
Well, I looked at the Shining Cities campaign. They put out a report every year,
mm-hmm.
and I looked at the 2018 report, and LA, I think, was the top city, followed by San Diego. A lot of the top cities who have gone into this in a big way. Honolulu was another one too. Of course, are in very sunny areas. So I did look at San Diego. Apparently, averages 266 sunny days per year. St. Louis averages 202.
That's not bad.
Which isn't too bad. So yeah, most of these cities that I looked at San Diego, Boston. Since that was in a slightly less sunny area,
mm-hmm.
Boston has 200 sunny days per year, so just marginally less sunny than us. Portland, Oregon, too, has only 144 sunny days per year, which is apparently more than Germany has, and Germany, of course, leads in solar installation. But most of them talked about, and most of them had good information on their websites about making the permitting process and so on, easier. They would have resources on their websites for people to go to. Some of them had maps of solar installations and calculator kinds of things so that people could go and get an idea of how much solar installation might cost for their business or their home, whatever. And I did look at Indianapolis. Is kind of interesting. They ranked number 8 in the Shining Cities 2018 report. They have 186 sunny days per year, so little less than we do, but they number 8 is in the overall ranking, and they're actually in rank at number 4 for the amount of solar energy per capita, which is pretty good. And they have, apparently Indianapolis has one of the world's largest airport-based solar installations.
Wow.
At Indianapolis International Airport.
Think of all the open land up at Niagara Field.
Yeah, really. Yeah. And They have a lot of information on their website, general information on solar, permitting information, links to resources. One of the cities, now I don't remember which one it is, and I'm not seeing it in my notes, they have a really streamlined permitting process. It's online, people can apply online and get same day response. That's can't get much better than that.
No, we're definitely not there.
Boston had a great, they have a Renew Boston webpage on their city government page with all kinds of information on home energy visits, energy tips, a solar panel permitting guide. A city that wasn't mentioned in this information that we have is Worcester, Mass. They've gone into solar in a pretty big way. They're not big enough apparently to be in the ranking that Shining Cities does, but they have installed solar panels on 10 of their public schools, including 2 solar parking canopies. They have the largest municipal solar farm in New England, and it's on the site of a former landfill.
That's smart. That's a good use for that land.
And they hired, I thought this was interesting, they hired an energy manager back in 2009. Then in 2013, they formed a new city energy and asset management division and launched the Worcester Energy Initiative in 2016. So they're really kind of full steam ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And Worcester has 197, I don't know if I mentioned that, 197 sunny days per year.
Well, I definitely think we could get information, do some promotion of it. You know, like you said, the website, put on the website what exactly is needed for a permit to make sure that when they go in that it's ready to go and they know all the structural information. Because I think that's what...
That's what you need.
Yeah, Mark said that's the one thing that will hold it up because people say, I want a solar panel, but they don't have all the proper information.
Right.
And calculators would be easy to put on there, some resources.
Are there plans to redo the website, the new city website, anytime soon? I think Gregory Rose mentioned that as one of his goals when he came to talk to us, didn't he? Or am I imagining that?
You're hopeful? No, I think he did.
Because it's awful at the moment.
It is.
It's really awful. It's hard to find information.
I know. And I don't know.
You've got enough on your plate.
Well, yeah. I mean, but the website that...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that goes out to bid, and it's a IT, you know...
Yeah.
I don't know.
It would be quite a process. But it would be great if there would be one place on the website where people could go for all kinds of sustainability.
Well, that's what I would really like to do is have a tab. And I know that I can add one, you know, right now, like in Public Works, it says, you know, streets, parks, and these, you know, trash and recycling. And then I know we can add some stuff up there. It's not going to make it super easy or user-friendly, but it would be able, you could be able to find it a little better.
In the email that you got, it looks like the amount that is being offered as an incentive is going down.
Right.
So does that mean that the city should act?
Yeah, but
like, is that,
I think it's what date?
Will that change year
looks
by year?
Like
it's
past.
Yeah, I think
it's like
done.
This year was 10 million, next year is 5.6 million.
It looked like the 50 cent per watt rate, it looked like that pool of funding has been used up.
Yeah, so it's fully depleted.
Unfortunately.
But like, do you know anything about that? Like, in 2 years, will it be yet less or something? Just
like in 2020?
2020, yeah.
I think things might change a little bit.
Things could potentially
change a lot.
Really?
What's
exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. Every year, it's, I mean, even with the Ameren rebates, we never know from year to year what's going to happen until right before it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And those are straightforward.
Yeah, I was just wondering.
Janine, how much, how seriously are we looking at converting some of our city buildings to solar power?
You know, I think last year at a CIP, the CIP projects, I put one in for solar panels, I think on the maintenance building. I can't remember which building, maybe Centennial Commons. And it wasn't even considered, I mean, it didn't go to council. It was cut before that. But, I don't know. I do know that one thing I didn't put it on the agenda, and I should have, is this firehouse retro commissioning project. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a list of measures to reduce the energy of Firehouse 1 because it's using excessive energy. A lot of it's the HVAC, but we're starting right now to do the lighting because there's a rebate that ends January 31st. We got to put bids out, got a company. Tonight, they're starting to replace the fluorescent tubes in the firehouse. Mm-hmm. One of the measures was for solar panels. And what the consultant suggested, and we've done in the past, we got a state loan where it's a low-interest loan, and you pay it back based on your energy savings. So as you start saving energy, you're paying it back with that supposedly extra money that you're saving, putting aside, which doesn't happen with municipal governments like that. But so I'm putting a memo together right now to suggest that we apply for the funding, state loan funding. I think it's a 2 or 3% interest rate to redo the HVAC, and the fire administration would like to do a solar panel. Solar panel is like $150,000. It's within a 15-year payback. I don't know. When we applied for it before and got the money, the previous finance director did not like the idea of the state loan. It went through council. It was approved. The city manager approved it. The finance director was like, I can't even believe we're doing this. She did not like the idea of borrowing money. So this is going to be a good test to see how willing they are to, you know, take this money. And once we find that out, then we'll find out maybe. Because I can't imagine them putting $250,000 in the CIP budget for a solar panel. But I don't know. What do you think, Tim? You know the.
I think that it's worth looking into, that if we could, in the long run, save money on our energy bills, I think it's something that we would warrant looking at.
Yeah, I would suggest maybe, you know, if this Commissioner Jenny can get us going on, we focus on maybe 3 or 4 of the city-owned buildings with the biggest surface area on the roof. Centennial Commons is clearly one. This building may be another, though this has got a lot of trees around it, providing shade. And let's see, you know, do a real complete study as how would it look if we went ahead with, say, putting solar on Centennial Commons. Unless, you know, this is sort of ballpark sort of numbers here, throwing out a lot of possibilities, but I think it's worthwhile pursuing this, try to get a real estimate on this. I think if we don't push it, I don't think it's going to get pushed.
Right.
I agree.
Right.
And that's what this commission should be doing. I think we really need to push it. if we can go back to straight up solar or somebody and talk to them about getting some real ideas on this, and then we can go to city council with it. I'd be really happy to talk to city council sometime if we get a real firm basis of where we would be and save money in the long run. I think we could do it. And includes having to borrow money if need be, and get it back in terms of rebates from Ameren or somebody if we could do it. But I don't see it being pushed unless we push it.
No, it will. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I do know what the last line on here, second last, he says, I've done a lot of complimentary analysis to get us thus far and would appreciate the opportunity to discuss this with you. And I'm pretty sure he's saying, here's the free stuff, and so if you want, you know, detailed information, then you know, show me the money, right? Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. I mean, so I don't know if then we would, because if we ask for a quote from them, but then we would ultimately put it out to bid. I mean, companies don't want to do that. Provide all the information. They're basically giving you a boilerplate, and then. So I don't know if we would have money to do the analysis, a full analysis, you know, with, or how we would get real numbers.
Are there any federal or state programs that offer grants for doing analysis like that?
Not that I'm aware of at this point. I think a lot of that's been removed from.
What about Ameren? Would they pay for any of that?
I don't think that they have anything for analysis. It's interesting. Spire, I know, will pay for an audit.
Right. Spire
but,
will, yeah.
Yeah, but Ameren doesn't have that. And I don't know about, like, grants. Like, we're doing the analysis for the solid waste, and we're going to get, hopefully, grant money to do an analysis. I don't know of anything like that for energy at this point.
Are there any other companies that do this? I mean, this is straight-up solar, I mean.
There are other companies. I just wonder if they're all going to be in the same, with the, you know, same thought process. That
could I ask, do you have an idea of what an analysis would cost? One that would be feasible?
I would think, this is just based on the analysis, like $10,000. Maybe less, because they already have the information. You know, whenever I think about the analysis we did on the firehouse, that was $17,000, but that was a lot of data gathering. They had to really go and do all the legwork, working with Train, working with, and I wouldn't think it would cost, it shouldn't cost that much, but when you have a $250,000 project, that's not out of the ballpark for consultation, you know? But I really don't know. That
would
is.
Would there be a way to get just a, like a rough estimate without paying for a whole study? I mean, I don't know exactly what it is they.
I think that this is the rough estimate.
This is.
You know, I mean, he says for the Centennial Commons, 240,000. That's 19-year payback. I know that there's some. I can call this guy and ask him. What it would take to get a full analysis so that we could get something budgeted and tell him that and explain to him the situation. We can't get money budgeted unless we have a full analysis. I understand his concern because then we have to put it out to bid. We're a municipality and these are the rules. Are you interested or not? And then see if somebody else would be interested.
Yeah, I agree with John. Unless we push it, I don't think anybody else is going to. Because ultimately it could save money, and then of course there are the environmental benefits, and you know, I really think we need to start stressing that more and more.
And it looks like here when you look at the Centennial Commons, $240,000, it's a 19-year payback, so that's really out of our range. But the service complex, this one, there's quite a bit of energy that gets used just from all the operations. And so, it, you know, 12 to 13-year payback does fall within our guidelines. Okay, I'll talk to Straight Up Solar and ask him what it will take to give it full, basically get a quote. You basically need a quote.
Yeah.
And then what about the Shining Cities campaign? Do we want to ask our mayor to sign this and say we're going to be on our, you know, or do we...
That would be a way to get them to commit.
Okay, I guess we would want to maybe vote on it. I don't take a vote, something to make sure we're all in concurrence or the majority. If you
don't really have anywhere else to go, do we? We have to do this. Otherwise, why are we sitting here?
Is that a motion?
Yes, completely.
I know John can do the motion.
So a lot of this all depends on the rebates that Ameren offers, and there are a lot of ifs and ands on this thing. I think we really need to try to get some idea of our more solid document on what's going to be.
Okay. I'll work on that, and then we'll, if you want to vote on the solar cities, mayors for solar cities.
How you want to vote on that? Okay.
I guess to see if we can get.
All in favor of having the mayor go ahead with joining on the solar city?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have yes all around.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
All right. Why don't we move on to 6B, the Sustainable Practices Guidelines. Update, I guess, we need on this.
So far, it has gone through Plan Commission, Traffic Commission, Green Practices, and right now, I think what's left is the Stormwater Task Force. I had sent it out to them, but Sinan and I discussed, let's get it just formally to the task force. And so that's the last one, and then after that, we'll take it to council to be adopted.
Okay.
Or to the city manager, however we
right
the okay process is for that point. So we're just waiting for one.
Okay, next item.
Recycling update.
Recycling update.
We talked about it a little bit. We've been talking about recycling. It seems like a lot. But right now, our single stream prices are going up and not down. We're at $80 a ton. We were at about 70, and it's just been creeping up, and I keep hearing, well, they're going to drop. They haven't yet. So none of the other municipalities that I know of it are changing their procedures. They're just paying for it and hoping that we're going to do better, except for some of the St. Charles County municipalities have dropped some material from their curbside services, but St. Louis County has an ordinance that requires certain things. St. Charles County does not. So, like, the city of Fallon doesn't collect fiber anymore at all. So they collect containers, certain numbers of plastic. I mean, they're very specific. Then there's one hauler, Meridian, that is trying to do a dual route in some of the municipalities. I'm not sure how far that, where that is. I think that's not Ellisville. It's a, I can't remember the municipality. It's a large municipality. It's the biggest square footage or square mile municipality. I don't know why I'm.
Bridgeton?
Mm-mm. It's big, but there aren't a lot of.
Wildwood?
Is it Wildwood? Maybe it is Wildwood.
Chesterfield?
No. I think it's, it might be Wildwood, but there might be another one. I'm sorry. But it's one of their, there's three, I think, municipalities in St. Louis County that Meridian handles, and Meridian's trying to move to dual stream, and the county's handling that with Meridian. You know, it's not, it doesn't really involve us, but it is interesting fact that there is, there are some municipalities that are, not the municipality themselves, but the haulers that are trying to push for dual stream.
Is there any heat in here?
It is freezing in here.
It's absolutely freezing.
It's okay, we're moving quickly. And that's really the updates
okay
that I have. And the regional, like you saw the billboards, those went up. There's been a, oh, I had an interview with Channel 9.
Oh, yeah?
And it should be on the end of this month sometime. I'm not sure, January 20th, some past somewhere after that, about recycling in general. And there's been a lot of PR that's gone out. And we did apply for another regional grant to continue the PR and focus, continue focusing on plastic bags, and then focus also on single-use plastics, trying to reduce those. So that's the next push through the region.
The city's got various of these signs. We put up these electronic things with the orange lights and the black background for traffic conditions, et cetera. Can we put something in there about no recycled plastic bags?
It's a great idea.
You know, if we influence 20 or 30 people, that's progress.
Right.
Yes, indeed.
I'll work on that.
We could put them up on all of them. On the main streets, we could put them rotate them around in different main streets, but putting these up all the time. Okay, commission reports. Tim, you have a council liaison update for us?
Sure, there's a couple of things that I can talk about. The our meeting coming up this Monday will be the first meeting that we've had in over a month. It'll be the first meeting of the year. The last meeting was early in December, so I think we have a full agenda Monday evening. And I've heard rumors that on our agenda may be the official proposal to University City by the developers from the I-170 development project. Again, that's just a rumor I've heard. I haven't heard that it's official yet. I think they're trying to get the last minute T's and I's dotted and crossed so that they can officially submit something to us so that they can start moving on that project. Just a couple of housekeeping issues around University City. The mess that is at McKnight and Delmar, mm-hmm. hopefully that'll be cleaned up soon, and then people will be able to cross those roads safer, especially if you're riding your bike or hiking along or jogging along the trails along there, then you'll have less roads to cross over. And I think whole project come before this commission at one point? No one knows about it?
I don't know that Delmar 170 came before the commission.
Not Delmar 170, McKnight and Delmar and 170.
You know, I think that would have been before me.
Okay, they're moving along on that so that hopefully that congestion and that morning traffic will be going away I think they're winding that up. And then you're all probably aware of the work that's going on being done on North and South, and St. Louis County is doing that. They're moving along, moving pretty quick on it, so hopefully that won't be torn up too much longer.
Will they be resurfacing?
Yes, they'll be resurfacing and all the fixing potholes and sinkholes and stuff like that. They've done a lot of patching. I know last night they were out there working after dark and digging up stuff, but not too late because they can't be hammering away at midnight. Neighbors in there won't like that. There's a little bit of news about the trolley. Apparently the Trolley LLC will be traveling to, I think, Iowa, where the third trolley car is being refurbished, and they're supposed to be going up there in the next 4 or 5 or 6 weeks to look at the final car to make sure that it's in working order and that it meets their specifications, and then making arrangements to have that shipped to St. Louis so they can add that to the fleet, and then hopefully end of February, March, when spring starts to roll around, the trolley will be up and running 7 days a week instead of just its limited hours now, and that it will be in place for the spring push and the businesses and for the businesses in the loop and all of the tourists that will be coming down there. And so let's knock on wood about that. And then finally, we are getting ready to start our budget process again, as Jenny is probably aware. And so we'll start talking about budgetary items. And I want to segue that into what we were talking about the solar energy. And if we, as a city, want our residents to start to convert to solar, then we need to set the pace for that. And I think that if this commission is willing to start putting something together that eventually can go to the council and say, hey, we really need to see some of the city buildings being converted to that, then I think we should do that. And if we have to spend a little bit of money to do some studies, then I'm willing to try and push it through the council to get some money budgeted. If it's under a certain amount, Mr. Rose can approve it himself and does not have to go to the council for approval. Anything over $25,000, he has to get our permission for. And so if there's a study that can be done for $10,000 or $12,000 or $15,000, maybe we could twist his arm and get him to write a check to have a good analysis done. But I think that that's something that we need to look at in the next couple of years, is seriously converting some of our buildings to solar power. And eventually, if we can demonstrate to the council and to the rest of the community that there is a savings there, and we want the rest of the community to start doing the same thing, then we need to be the leaders on that. So I think that's something worthwhile to look at. And unless anyone has any questions, I don't have anything else to say.
I do have one little observation. The gas company has been replacing lines in the between Eastgate and Westgate,
uh-huh.
and it was big panels. Well, they've smoothed it out beautifully. There's no potholes. It's really lovely, and it's done
they're
very nicely.
They're fixing them correctly?
Yes.
My biggest concern is that when Spire and MSD can come through and they tear up our roads. I mean, I don't know how many of you saw the mess that the Third Ward was in last summer. Some of the streets over there were just horrible because of all of the utility work over there. But sometimes the Spire and Ameren and MSD will hire an outside company to repair their work, and it doesn't get done. It's not that good. They don't put the foundations back in correctly, and then the roads end up sinking. So I'm really glad to hear that they're repairing those correctly.
Very nice.
And if anybody sees anything where there's substandard work being done to repair these roads, let us know, because we'll get on them. And we just found there was a couple of sidewalks, just little patches of in the loop, the sidewalks that have been torn up, and they finally tracked down who did that, and they're repairing those. Mm-hmm. So
that's good to hear.
Let me know if you see any other problems like that.
Okay, so we got a quarterly report scheduled from Barbara on Ecosystems Habitat.
I didn't prepare anything.
That's
I didn't remind you either.
Okay,
so.
Don't worry.
That's okay.
One by Adam. Is Adam Stout is not here.
He's out.
I would say we can go on to closing round. Anybody have any comments?
I think that there could be a bumper sticker, something along the lines of, when the sun is shining, we're making money.
Yes.
And I think that would be really catchy.
Yeah.
I bet there's something out there.
I feel like there's something in there.
Yeah.
And bumper stickers are the best way to proclaim your beliefs. So just throwing that out into the world.
Yeah. Anybody else? One thing on it, on the use of solar, granted, Israel's got about 300 sunny days a year, if not more. You go by some of these cities like Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, and you look at the apartment houses with flat roofs. Every single one of them has got multiple water tanks up top and a solar panel just below the water tank. And they use the solar panel to heat the hot water that they're going to use inside. And every you go building after building, the ones that the Jewish people are in, the tanks are all white. The ones the Arabs are in are all black. Don't ask me why, but that's the way it is. I was told. But they are using it extensively for heating the hot water. That's a cheap way to do it, I guess. They also have some system whereby, evidently, if you buy power from the power company, it costs you 3 cents for whatever unit they're using. And if you sell excess back to them, you get 4 cents for it. So we encourage people to do that.
I did think of something it's not solar related, but it's energy efficiency related. My husband and I recently had the ducts cleaned in our house, and then we had the sealing process done. It's called AeroSeal. And apparently it's all kind of computer controlled, this whole process. And the substance that they use to seal the leaks in the ducts is apparently the same stuff that they use baby pacifiers out of. It goes in liquid form, and it finds any holes in the ducts, and then sticks to the edges of the holes, and then the other stuff sticks. It'll stick to itself seal these holes. And it, in some states, apparently, it's code that ducts need to be sealed with this, using this process.
Wow.
And they tested our ducts for leakage before they began. We had 20% leakage, even though we had taped, you know, all the seams that we could get to. Of course, some are in the walls and inaccessible. And when they had finished, we had 4% leakage.
Wow.
They can't get it down to zero, something to do with the pressure that the process builds up in the duct. So they try to get it down to zero, you know, you end up blowing up the duct.
Wow. What's it called again?
AeroSeal.
AeroSeal.
Yeah. And we noted, I mean, it's supposed to, of course, increase the energy efficiency. This was done just like 2 days before Christmas, so it's too early to tell if we'll save money on bills or anything like that. But it increases energy efficiency, decreases wear and tear on your furnace and air conditioner, and it makes your living space more comfortable. And that we really have noticed.
Really?
Like right away.
Yeah.
Yes.
In terms of monitoring this to see if you're saving money, you really have to look at your bills per heating degree day.
Right.
You can't just, you know, say,
yeah, you
compare
just
one month versus another.
Yeah.
It's per heating degree day, and that'll give you some idea if you're really saving money or not. Anything else from anybody? I'm going to declare the meeting over. It's 6:39 by my watch. All right.